everyone. We wanted to tell you about a new show we are loving, the Culture Study Podcast with Anne Helen Peterson.
It's a show about exploring the nooks and crannies of the culture that surrounds you. Each week, Anne and a super smart co-host answer listeners' questions about the stuff they find interesting and perplexing, like, why do clothes suck now? Is Paw Patrol propaganda, or is it not that deep? And what's the deal with everyone I know getting a divorce?
Like Anne's tremendously popular newsletter, the Culture Study Podcast is funny, insightful, and kind of weird. And it's guaranteed to help you become the most interesting person at parties. Listen to the Culture Study Podcast every Wednesday, wherever you get your shows.
This podcast is free. And it's accessible to everyone, thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks!
Megan's a little bit scary, and she yells at adults.
For sure.
And I am quivering.
Got him. Boom, roasted.
Zombie cannibal vampire monster.
What a bunch of chuckleheads.
I hope you don't have plans to spend time with literally anyone else.
Text me back.
Text me back.
Text me back.
Text me back at once.
Why won't you text me back? Welcome to Text Me Back, a podcast about best friendships, the best animals, and the worst people. I'm Lindy West.
And I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays.
Today, in honor of Valentine's Day, a totally real holiday full of love and smooches, we are releasing a little Valentine's bonus to our listeners who we are in love with, and not platonically. We love you all romantically, which is why we have gotten you this gift. Lindy, would you like to share what it is?
I sure would, Megan. It's our long-awaited Lord of the Rings bonus episode.
To light the beacons!
Now, you might be saying, why now? A of all, that Lord of the Rings episode you did came out last year. And B of all, Lord of the Rings, famously one of the least romantic movies ever made, containing, hear me out, only three women. 3 to 4, possibly, and almost no smooching, and mostly it's just men running around hitting each other. However, counterpoint, the men are cute, and the girls are cute, and sometimes the romance isn't about what's going on screen, but about what's going on in your heart as the viewer. Also, gay hobbits exist and sometimes go on a trip together.
I thought that was the end of the sentence. Gay?
But more specifically, there's some sort of Lord of the Rings essence happening right now all over the nation in our nation's movie theaters.
That's so true. A Lord of the Rings essence is the word that many people are using. Theaters all over this great nation of ours, all over Middle Earth, are doing screenings of the Lord of the Rings trilogy this month. In Seattle, one theater downtown is dedicating the whole month to these movies. It's called SIF Cinema, although I knew it as Cinerama, but now it has a different name. Still, you should go there and watch the films. In New York, Radio City Music Hall is screening The Two Towers with a freaking orchestra, so maybe I'll take the Acela up there and have a gander at that. That sounds amazing. So fun.
You know, we've said it before, and we'll say it again. There's literally nothing that this podcast loves more than cozying up with multiple hours of hobbits walking. And February is as cozy and cold a month as any. So whether you love Valentine's Day or you hate Valentine's Day, you think it's stupid or fake or whatever, this bonus episode is our way of saying, beloved dear ones, let's spend this day together. Hold up on our respective couches, running our fingers through each other's foot fur, absorbed in a fantasy world with many, again, many hot people. One might say exclusively, uniformly hot people. Name one that's not hot.
Return of the King, more like Return of the Babes. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, much like Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson, Lindy and I have 13 hours worth of unused Lord of the Rings podcast material that we are going to now force you to listen to in totality. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to be releasing the 13 hours in little snippets over the course of the calendar year of 2024. No, we're not going to do that either. But we are going to start with something that got taken out with our beautiful friend, Tyler Beret, our wizard, in a segment we called Ask a Wizard. Okay, for this segment, we compiled questions both from Lindy and my own brains and also questions from some of our listeners to ask the wizard. Are you ready, wizard, for some deep lore questions about Lord of the Rings?
So ready.
Okay.
Can I ask a preliminary question of the wizard that I just thought of? I just want to know, all the wizards in Lord of the Rings, they each have a color. Gandalf the gray / white, Saruman the white, Radagast the brown, and then of course the mysterious blue wizards, who I only know about because Tyler told me. What color wizard are you, Tyler the wizard?
I think red is my favorite color, and since it's not taken, bam.
Do you have a wizard name, or do you want to just be Tyler the Red?
Ty Rendier, Tyler Stormcrow. Let's go, wizard. Come on, wizard.
Ty Rendier is pretty good.
All right, Ty Rendier the Red. Okay, Megan, kick us off.
Okay, wizard. This was our top listener question for you. We got it a lot. Let's dispense with it quickly and perhaps indignantly. Why didn't the Eagles, including King of the Eagles, Gwahir, just fly the Fellowship into Mordor and dispense of the ring immediately? They all get their own eagle and fly into Mordor. Wizard, what say you?
It's a great question.
It's nice of you to say.
I don't believe that anyone would be able to have the willpower to willingly destroy the ring. I just rewatched Fellowship, and in the very beginning, they show, you know, Isildur and Elrond there in Mount Doom. And Elrond's like, just do it, Isildur. And he looks at Elrond. He's like, no. Like, you're like, you fool. Like, not only is this going to kill you, but it's going to cause so much pain and suffering. That is not a plot hole. It's all totally satisfactorily wrapped up in Tolkien's story, but only if you get into some of the things he wrote after The Lord of the Rings, not in the appendix. So he essentially...
That's why you need a wizard.
Great.
He said that just the pull of the ring was so strong that nobody, Frodo, Bilbo, Gandalf, Elrond, Sauron himself, if he so desired, none of them would have had the will to actually do it.
To clarify, to actually cast the ring into the fires of Mount Doom.
Yes. And so, you know, the kerfuffle that happens between Frodo and Gollum, that's kind of like what you needed. Mm-hmm. You needed some sort of zigzag in order to actually make it happen. Because if Gollum wasn't there, Frodo would have done the same thing that Isildur did.
I think that's such a good answer, Tyler. I really appreciate that. Because it is like, yes, you need the complication of Gollum at the end. But also, I think Frodo really needs to go through a trial to really understand the gravity of what he's doing. And you don't really get that if you're getting like deus ex machina'd into Mount Doom by a giant eagle.
Totally.
But here's my question for the wizard. I understand what you've just explained from a storytelling perspective. Why is it necessary for the book? But if you are Gandalf in the moment, what does the journey accomplish? Are we just trusting Gandalf's intuition here, essentially? Like, he's having this intuition about the Hobbit. Like, he's like, I feel like this Hobbit can do this.
I think that we can, yes. But I think Gandalf's intuition is coming from on high, right? You know, Gandalf is a demigod, but he doesn't know it at the start of the book. Mm. But we are led to believe that when he fights the Balrog, who is also an equal level demigod, right? Ooh. Quite a freaking fight. And they both die. When he is resurrected as Gandalf the White, we are led to believe that he has some greater idea of where he's coming from. And I think that he may not have known exactly how things were going to go down in the Temple of, or the Temple of Doom. Let's talk about, that's a truly problematic movie. Another episode. Yeah. But Gandalf might not have known exactly what was going to go down in Mount Doom, but I think he might have had a sense. I feel like Gandalf knew that no individual, including himself, would have the will to destroy the ring. So I think he kind of finessed, he created a situation whereby Gollum would be there along with the hobbits.
Oh,
right.
Gandalf pulled the strings of Gollum being there. That is genius. I thought the wizard, I mean, hubris of me to think that I could predict the wizard's answer. I thought you were just going to be like, oh, they can't send the eagles because Sauron has the Nazgul who can just go bite the eagles out of the sky and, you know.
Well, that too.
Make them crash. Like, Sauron has a perhaps even mightier airborne force. And I was like, oh, it just, whereas if you have a tiny little hobbit just creeping along the ground, that's much harder to find.
And I think that Sauron, as the creator of the ring, he probably knows just as well as anyone else that nobody would have the willpower to be able to destroy it. So I think that explains why he's just leaving Mount Doom unguarded, regardless of whether he's got an air force or not.
Speaking of hubris. Okay. So next question. This comes from a listener named Lindy West. So my question is, why is Sauron even on the battlefield fighting in person, putting himself in danger of getting his fingers cut off by Isildur in the first place? Why not stay in your tower and be sneaky and command from afar?
So Sauron has like a few different phases. So in the first age, he's definitively Morgoth's henchman, and he actually lives at a separate castle called like the Isle of Werewolves or something like that. The nerdy, hopefully satisfying answer to this is that Sauron really went through some phases. So he was a definitive henchman in the first age. And what's really interesting is that at the end of the first age, there is a huge Deus Ex Machina moment, like the War of Wrath. The gods actually come back to Middle Earth to finally beat down Morgoth. And they take him away in chains, and they take him out of the world. Like, he's in some, like, ether.
That sounds nice.
But Sauron, who was known to be his henchman, survives the punishment. They're like, where's Sauron? And he's like, I don't know, he's not here. And so then during the second age, Sauron is like kind of lurking and he's being deceitful. And then he gets the ring fashioned and he's having a moment, right? He's like, I'm the powerful guy. I survived the War of Wrath and I made this ring. And so now I'm going to be like my old boss, Morgoth, and lead the people into battle, right? And be the dude with the huge mace. And I think he, you know, that was his moment. And he didn't realize that he was not invulnerable.
Dare I say, the reason that Sauron's out on that battlefield is daddy issues.
Papa.
Sure.
He's like, I want to please Papa Morgoth,
who's just watching him from somewhere outside the bounds of the universe.
He's watching from on Ether TV. This is actually not a question for the wizard. It's more of a question for Dr. Tyler. More of a meta question that came from a listener from Berlin. Wow. This listener asks about getting his partner to watch the Lord of the Rings movies. Not because his partner is not into Lord of the Rings. They're actually very into the books, as is Dr. Tyler, but not so much interested in the movies. What do we say to that person about whether or not the movies are worth their time?
What's really interesting about those of us our age is that we are just old enough to have had a chance to enjoy the books, and then the movies came out when we were in, what, high school and into college. Yeah. And so, like, I remember having a conversation about this exact issue with another person we went to high school with, Jake M, I'll say, good buddy, somebody who has a really vivid visual imagination. And I remember him saying, I was disappointed when I saw the movies because the landscapes that I imagined in my head were more incredible and vivid and bombastic than what Peter Jackson created. And I remember telling him myself, like, wow, good job, Jake's imagination, because for me, I had this whole universe in my brain from reading the books, but what Peter Jackson put on to film, I thought, really, to me, enhanced my understanding and my love of that universe.
That's really nice.
Well, that's nice.
But it's going to be different for everybody, I think, you know?
By the way, I totally get not wanting to see a big media production of something because your own mind has kind of created a world for itself for whatever it is you've been reading. But really, the movies are their own thing. But it's hard. Like when you're so devoted and you so love something that you've read, it's hard to be like, ugh, they took out the part. I love that part and they took out that part, or that didn't match up with how I think. So I think really to answer our Berlin friend, she might not ever want to, and that's okay because what she's invented in her mind is beyond Peter Jackson's baby mind to understand. Not even New Zealand could hold a candle to her brain palace. And I think that's amazing. Good for her. Good for them. Wizard, we cannot thank you enough. Before you go, we have one bonus listener question. What is your ideal second breakfast? 11sies, if you prefer.
Ooh.
Wizard?
Gosh. Well, I mean, huevos rancheros, that's pretty good. I mean, bacon, anything with bacon has got to be... But really, maybe it's because I've been I have been away from the West Coast for a few months now. But can I say double at In-N-Out?
Yeah, you can.
Because that's maybe my favorite food of all time.
I'm pretty sure there is an In-N-Out in Rohan. So yeah, you could say double.
Wow, what an honor to have a wizard here in
One
studio.
One of Middle Earth's preeminent wizards. Thank you.
I will say I'm a bit of a wizard with DNA in real life.
If any of you need a plant disease identified or some DNA sequence,
you know who to call.
Yeah, you are a real scientist and in fact, truly a leader in your field. So I'm glad that we had you on to talk about Morgoth.
Please name the next mushroom you discover Morgothia irregularis or something.
Yeah. Name it Lil Morgoth.
There are like a ridiculous number of organisms named after Tolkien characters. I'm sure there's something named after Morgoth.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Coming up, bad guys deserve love too. So with that in mind, we're going to play our own special evil spicy naughty version of F, Marry, Kill and More with every single villain in Middle Earth. Not the married ones, just the single ones.
We're not homewreckers.
Guess what? Text Me Back is going live Friday, March 15th, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Town Hall, Seattle.
We'll talk about our favorite animals, our least favorite people. We'll share our tidings, play a game or two, and maybe even bring some songs and other surprises for this special live podcast event.
You can check KOW.org for events.
Or check the show notes for today's show. See you then, besties. Welcome back, beloveds. We are now going to revisit a game that brought in some of our most passionate, listener responses, including from our illustrious bosses at KUOW, who said things like, I'm passionate about you never doing this again. Sometimes passion is a bad thing.
Yep, that's right. It's time for FMKHFDYTH, the classic game, Lord of the Rings style. This time, though, you may have heard on episode 7 we played this game, this romantic, beautiful game with the 9 members of the Fellowship, but now we're doing it again with the villains of the tale. So here are the villains, just as a reminder. We got Saruman and Wormtongue, package deal. That's a thruple. We got Gollum. We got Shelob. Shelob? Okay. We got Shelob. We got Lurtz.
She's French.
Shelob. Might want to pick her for ultimate romance.
Ooh.
Okay. Lurtz, who is that ripped orc with the high pony. Witch King of Angmar, Sauron, Denethor, Lobelia Sackville Baggins, and Balrog.
But of course, we're not just effing, emming, and k-ing. We have loads more options too, and here they are. FMK, of course, the classics. H, hurt their feelings. F, Freaky Friday mind swap. D, do karaoke with and which song? A classic question for the ages. Y, you kill a spider and then have to listen to them condescendingly explain that spiders are good, actually, because they eat bugs. T, their hair becomes your pubes. And H, hire as your manservant as punishment for your favorite son's death. Also, keep in mind, we originally recorded this beautiful segment around Christmas time, so there's a little reference to that season during the game. Although, if you think about it, Christmas is forever. So, let's get started. Lindy, would you like to kick us off with who you would F?
Sure, I'm F-ing the Witch King of Angmar, baby! He's tall. He's mysterious. He's got a flying worm.
Got it all.
He's got it all, man. I love that guy. I'm the witch queen of Angmar now. I don't know where Angmar is, but...
I mean, you're just effing. You haven't, like...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We're just effing. I'm not the queen. That's fine. You're that's even better. I'm the consort of Angmar. Witch consort of Angmar.
I chose Lurtz. I want to F Lurtz.
I love it.
He's a hottie with a naughty body. Very muscly. Very strong. He's insane. For sure.
Yeah.
But this is just about effing. This isn't about anything more than that. And he's got good aim. So let's go.
And one thing I know about you, you love a high pony.
And he's got like a look. You know, he's got the white hand of Saruman on his face, little, you know, makeup. It's handsome.
Dare we say metrosexual?
He's well groomed. Which
everyone's still looking for. That's a current reference.
He's dressing to, like, you know, show off his assets. I think his legs are his best asset. Mm. He wears a loincloth. Mwah. Love it. Hey, Lurtz, call me boo.
Okay, number dose. Megan, who do you marry?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the Witch King of Angmar, because I chose him to marry. Truly for all the same reasons that you chose him to F. He's got a Nazgul. He's got a cool hat. He's very well spoken. He, like, writes poetry, I assume. He gets got on a technicality, which makes him stupid. For people who don't know, the Witch King of Angmar is the one on the battlefield who's like, no man can kill me. And then Eowyn says, I am no man. And she, like, slices his head off or something. Anyway, she kills him. And Merry also, because Merry's technically not a man. Merry's a halfling. So he stabs him in, like, the Achilles.
Yeah.
And Eowyn kills him. And I was like, what an idiot. But that's fine. He could still be my husband. So you can be his consort and I will be his queen.
Okay. I'm marrying Sauron.
Which form is he in during your ceremony?
The hot form. He's in his hot, sneaky form. He's in his hot, sneaky form. We're getting married. I'm ready for Sauron to die at some point.
Yeah.
Then I inherit, like, half the world, which I will rule benevolently. I'll turn it over to the people. I'll do it right, whatever that is. I'll do socialism with it. Look, and I'm not saying that I'm going to kill him. I'm not hashtag women who kill or whatever. I'm not snapped. I'm not a woman of snapped, but, you know, he's got to die or else the fantasy doesn't function. You know what I mean? The villain has to die. So that's not my fault. And once he's gone, I'm going to do some major renovations in Mordor. Yeah. And we're going to make it nice.
You can get a house renovation show on the Magnolia Network with Chip and Joanna.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, me and Chip and Jojo. Me and Chip and Jojo could be a throuple.
You could turn the tower into a silo bed and breakfast. It'll be really charming.
Yes. See, okay, this is the right choice. Number three, who we kill?
Okay, Lindy, who are you K-ing? Who are you killing?
I think you can guess, Megan. This is such an obvious choice. Obviously, I have to kill Lobelia Sackville Baggins.
Oh, I want that. Was not that is unexpected.
Because I hate hobbits. And I'm a misogynist.
The depth of your hatred for the poor halflings is really something.
I'm doing a bit, but, like,
yeah.
Okay, but however, though, they are annoying. And Lobelia, okay, I feel like everyone else on this list has some motivation to be evil. Lobelia is just, like, mean. Like, she's just, like, is a bad person for no reason.
She's like a conniving materialist. You know, she's just kind of stinks.
I don't like that.
How about you?
Yeah, I chose, this is how I thought you were going to say, I chose Shelob. I don't like spiders and I don't care what they do for the ecosystem. They stink. And Shelob in particular is really stressful and mean. And she's not good for the ecosystem because she just eats nice guys.
No, she eats orcs. Because she's tired of filthy orc meat, and that's why she's so hungry for the sweet hobbits.
Okay, so technically Shelob is perhaps good for the ecosystem, but I don't care for her. I think she's got insanely bad vibes. Her little hovel is so stinky, so gross. She's just she's stressful. And I don't like her. I don't like spiders of any size. Although in my real life, I generally do not kill spiders. I usually do the cut method and shoo them outside. But Shelob, I would make an exception for because her vibes are so rancid.
Well, there's not a big enough cup.
And also she's already outside, you know, so I don't like her. She's got to go.
Next, we have Freaky Friday Mind Swap. Who you swapping?
Interestingly enough, I chose Saruman and Wormtongue. It's a twofer. You could mind swap with two people at once, and it's like, that could be interesting. What's going on there? But also, like, maybe if you mind swap with both of them, you could destroy them both at once. I don't know. I didn't. It's not a fully formed thought. But also, Saruman, again, he is a wizard, and I'm just like, if my brain is in a wizard's body, what could I accomplish?
You could hurt their feelings from the inside.
Exactly.
Give them low self esteem.
Correct. That's right.
Well, I picked Denethor. And not just because I was running out of options. The thing I'm learning about myself playing this game is that apparently I am a power hungry madman, because every single one I'm like I was like, oh, if my brain went into Denethor's body, I'm the steward of Gondor and I could do it right, you know. Like, then Denethor's crappy brain could take my crappy body and like toddle away and go do what, like work for the New York Times or whatever.
I would kill to read Denethor and Lindy's body's New York Times column about like radical body acceptance or something. Just me. I would kill.
Yeah, he'd have to learn fast.
Okay, karaoke and which song?
I picked Lurtz.
Ooh, yes.
I could just hear that voice. And I picked a classic duet for the season. Baby, it's cold outside.
Say, what's in that drink?
Exactly.
I would kill Shelob to see that. I really, really would.
You were going to kill Shelob anyway.
I was going to kill her anyway. For karaoke, I picked Lobelia Sackville-Baggins' Separate Ways by Journey, because I think she needs to get out of here. Go away. I just like want her to receive a message from our duet. Someday, Lobelia, love will find you. Break those chains that bind you. One night will remind you how we touched and went our separate ways. And now you must leave. Stop taking Bilbo's doilies and get out. Get out. So that's who I picked.
Oh, that's going to be a fun night. That's the night that you go F Lurtz and then I lure Lobelia away and... Oops.
Another wonderful Friday evening in Bag End.
Okay, what's next?
You kill a spider and then have to listen to them condescendingly explain that spiders are good, actually, because they eat bugs. Who have you chosen?
I chose the Balrog. Here is my logic. Because it would sound like this. Like, it doesn't talk.
I chose the Balrog for exactly that reason.
Just a fire demon.
He doesn't talk. He doesn't speak in the movie. I don't know if he even has the power of speech, but it would just be so funny. Like, just flames flying off of his angry horns. He's trying to communicate with you that they're good for the garden.
That's actually so cute. That just made me want to marry the Balrog. What a cutie.
Oh, God. He just cares too much, you know?
Okay, their hair becomes your pubes. Let's say it at the same time. One, two, three.
Gollum. He's mostly bald, except for like four strands. So I just was like, just for ease of maintenance, I was like, it's gotta be Gollum. Like, who else could it be, you know?
It's honestly like a great choice. Like, it's a gorgeous choice.
Yeah, it's just gonna be stunning. Absolutely stunning.
And then, finally, hire as your manservant as punishment for your favorite son's death. Megan, who did you choose?
I chose Denethor. Give him a taste of his own medicine, that dirty rat. You know what I mean? He deserves it. I mean, it's so obvious. It's like, you are a weird jerk. Listen, I know we have opposing views on Pippin, but Denethor is very mean to him for no reason. Well, just because he's gone mad over his son. I mean, look, I'm sure, I know he's grieving. I get it. We all grieve in different ways. Leave Pippin out of it, freak. Leave him alone. Now you're gonna light Faramir on fire? He's still alive? Boo. Boo. You will be bringing me tomatoes on a platter, my good man. I have chosen Denethor.
I support that choice. I think that's a good choice. And I also think that I'm inconsistent with my feelings. Like, as we know, I condemn and defend Pippin in the same breath. So, and, you know, Denethor, you're still responsible for the actions that you take, even if they're the result of mental illness. You still have to make amends for them. You have to be accountable for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Totally. Who'd you pick?
I picked Shelob. I just thought it'd be funny. I'm Shelob scuttling around.
Yeah.
Bringing me my robe and slippers.
Washing your feet. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how funny would that be?
It's quite the image. Well, I think we can all agree this is the greatest game to ever have been invented by two genius women. You can play it with your friends. You can play it with your family. It's a game for all ages, I would say.
Yeah, definitely all ages.
All of the ages. And again, I guess this brings to a close another classic round of FMK HFDYTH.
Thank you so much for spending this day with us. This content means a lot to us. In many ways, it's our Valentine to us. It's our boyfriend. And so are you. We love you.
Everyone who's currently listening to this podcast right now is my boyfriend. And I love you. Thank you.
And also my girlfriend and my non-binary friend. Romantic partner, because
that's true.
This podcast is a safe, inclusive space.
We love you so much. We're bringing you a whole new episode tomorrow also.
And it's a real one with real people with real brains, such as internet culture journalist Taylor Lorenz, who's going to validate or destroy Megan's conspiracy theory about the Gen Z versus millennial psyop. So you don't want to miss that.
No, you don't.
Mwah. Text Me Back is a production of KUOW in Seattle, a proud member of the NPR network. Our editor is Jeannie Yandel. Our senior producer is Brandy Fullwood. Our mixer is Jason Burrows.
Diana Bowen makes our video clips, and they are delightful. And I'm not just saying that because we're in them. Go enjoy them at Text Me Back Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Our production team includes Michaela Giannotti Boyle, Amelia Peacock, Alicia Villa, Hans Twight, Brendan Sweeney, and Marshall Eisen.
Our music is by Chief Ahamefale J. Oluo.
Special thanks to our perfect angel, Isolde Raftery.
I'm Lindy West.
And I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays. See you next week.
The orcs exhibit lots of social behaviors that indicate that they have a complex society. And I don't understand what they're doing all the time when there's not a war on.
Yeah.
Like that, are they sitting at home playing a board game?
Are there, you know, orc
like
councils?
Cooking a rat stew? There's clearly orc bureaucracy because there is always an orc with a clipboard being like, we don't have enough to pay. Whatever. You know, it's a famous meme. The part when the orc is like, they decide that they're going to cannibalize each other. And the orc is like, looks like meat's back on the menu, boys. Implies that orcs have restaurants. So I feel like there's this sort of propagandistic flattening of the orc into a binary, like, black and white villain, which is
sure
problematic.
Well, but they are followers of Hitler Sauron, so it's like,
oh right,
you know, they have to,
it's like a cult,
they have to face accountability.
It's an MLM.
No. They have to
it's Sauron's MLM. Yes.
They have to face
that's the only thing that makes sense.
Oh my god, the crosstalk is really something today.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.